Listener discretion is advised for the following program. Some of the content may not be appropriate for younger listeners. Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, remembering 46-year-old Emily Rose Rush. She was one of three speakers featured in a Fierce Freedom documentary titled A Light in the Darkness, having to do with trafficking survivors and their families. Coming up, thanks to Executive Director Kat Morgan of Fierce Freedom and that Light in the Darkness video, we'll remember Emily Rush. On this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIV and WOGO Radio, I'm Mark Halverson. As I've told you in the past, in addition to working here at Wib and Wogo as news director and morning show host, I also serve as a volunteer with Fierce Freedom, an anti-human trafficking education organization, and also co-host their podcast. And this week, Fierce Freedom posted that our hearts are grieved at the loss of Emily Rush, who recently passed away due to medical complications. Kat Morgan writes, "We met Emily some years ago when she reached out to us and shared about her experience as a survivor of sex trafficking." Kat says, "We'll miss the special way Emily lit up a room with her humor, joy, creativity, and beauty." Here's Emily Rush from the Fierce Freedom video production, A Light in the Darkness.
I grew up, I was born in Texas, in southern Texas. My parents were addicts, and my first memory is of being in a high chair outside and my mom having a gun to her head, ready to commit suicide, and I started choking on a chicken bone. And it's what saved her. She came to my rescue. That was my first memory. And she ended up going into a treatment center. But it turned out to be a religious cult where you couldn't leave. You couldn't, you know, 6-hour church services every day. The person that ran it, it was very, he was sick. He would discipline, he was the only one that was allowed to discipline the kids, and so he used a lot of, it was a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of fear tactics, all in the name of God.
Fierce Freedom Executive Director Kat Morgan.
So I met Emily a few years ago, and she had reached out to Fierce Freedom because she wanted to share her story with myself and Jenny Olmquist, who was the executive director at the time. She wanted to share about her experience as a survivor of trafficking. And I remember the first time I met her, and we were sitting down kind of in our boardroom in the office, and just seeing the light in her eyes. Emily was somebody who always lit up a room, just no matter where she was. She just had so much life about her, and she just had this warmth that you could just feel tangibly. She was just a caring, compassionate person, and then this just translated in every interaction with her. She was really passionate about not only sharing her story so that she could help others who had been in a vulnerable situation like she herself was, but she wanted people to get their hands dirty. You know, she would say that she was like, you know, it's all well and good that we're talking about this, but what are we actually doing about it for vulnerable people like I was? And again, she was also an artist. So she made beautiful paintings. She loved spending time with horses out in the country, which she lived a while, I think, kind of out in the country. And one of the things she was able to do is spend time with horses out there. And I know that she adored them. She loved being out there with animals, with horses. And I think that it's interesting because there are so many survivors who find that comfort in horses, like through equine therapy. And so a lot of the art that she made actually, I think, showcased that passion and that love very well. She would make these gorgeous paintings of horses and just nature and different things. She would do some portraits, she would do some drawings. And again, I just think that how she was in the world was somebody who saw beauty in spite of all the horrendous things that she had been through.
You don't know that the life you're living is not normal until you get older and you see other people's lives. I was always very positive and just smiley. But I remember from a young age feeling very tired already, and not like energy wise, because I was super hyper. They told me I was allergic to sugar because I was so hyper, so thinking that it would scare me from eating it. But I was just, I remember wanting to go to sleep and not wake up, and not realizing that was like suicidal, not suicidal thoughts, but just being so tired, and that like before age 5 even.
Fierce Freedom Executive Director Cap Morgan.
We were able to do so many things together, which I'm so grateful for. I think, again, when I think about Emily, I think about how grateful I am that I even met her, that I was able to be her friend, and that she, you know, opened her heart to wanting to work with us at Fierce Freedom. And again, using her gifts for connecting with people, for just her passion, I guess, for, again, making change because of what she'd been through, and not wanting that to happen to anyone else. And so some of the highlights, I would say, from the work that we did was, you know, I'll never forget the day that we went to the state capitol in Madison, and there was safe harbor legislation, which basically makes provision for underage victims of trafficking to not be arrested for prostitution. So when she was working, I shouldn't say working, when she was being trafficked, there were some laws in place that basically enabled for that to continue where she was, where escorting was legal. And so essentially it made it look like she was responsible and had and owed a lot of money for taxes to, I believe, the state of Illinois, where she was being trafficked and where she had been sold. So she, I think, again, was really passionate for reforming our legislation. And so, again, showing up there at the Capitol in front of the Wisconsin State Assembly, and there were so many people that day that gave testimony. We were there for probably 3 or 4 hours just listening. And so many people and advocates shared about how important it was, but she was one of the last people to give testimony, actually. And it was one of the most powerful moments that I've ever been part of with my work. Sitting with her as she just shared from her heart and just gave them, you know, just her own story and why she believed in this and how they could make a difference for somebody like her, who had been a young person that was caught up in the juvenile justice system and had been sold when she was a teenager to a pimp, and how she had fear of law enforcement, how, you know, if she said, if there was legislation like this when I was young, I can't even imagine what that would have done for me. And I remember seeing the looks on the faces of the politicians, the lawmakers, and just how their hearts, I could see just their hearts kind of opening to her, and just like there were people in tears just because of what she shared. And I think she was one of the few survivors that day that actually shared her experience, if maybe the only one. So she did. She had a gift for reaching people. And that was so powerful.
Here, Emily Rush shares a life-altering experience that occurred when she was with her father.
When I was 14, we were out on his shrimp boat. And I went up, I think I walked up the stairs, or either walked around to the other side of the deck. And he was down on the ground, and he had yellow stuff coming out of every pore in his body. And he had overdosed, and the radio on the boat was broken, of course, and so I had no way to get a hold of anything, you know, reach out to the Coast Guard or for any help. So I laid down with him and fell asleep, and you know, it was really late in the night. It took a long time, and Coast Guard finally found us. And after that, they shipped me up to Wisconsin. And, you know, I was, that was, you know, the start of everything. I just was so unprepared for what the world was like. And, you know, I all this time, the foster care system, my social worker, nobody asked any questions. And I find that so strange now that you, and I think it's probably gotten better, but you don't, when kids act up, there's a reason. There is a reason. I just, it's mind-boggling to me. I believe the system really, the trajectory of my life would be greatly altered had they have asked the right questions or offered any kind of help. In the beginning, when I first moved up here, started acting out, you know, I was very promiscuous. So I remember 14, 15 years old getting into the bars, and it was pretty much every day. From a young age, the only value I had was my body, I thought. And the only, nobody ever showed me any other type of attention or that I was valued in any other way. It blows my mind that when you see a kid, you wouldn't, when you see a kid acting out or being promiscuous or at 14 years old, why? Why are they acting like that? Why are they doing that? And maybe then they're just, I still feel like there was, it was studied. And there was, I mean, when you've had trauma, I feel like it's pretty obvious that there was something happening. But I wish that somebody would have just listened to me, maybe just been kind, because I just felt so unwanted, because I moved around so much, and my mom, she used to tell me that I was a hard person to love, and she loved me, but she didn't like me. And I remember that stuck with me my whole life, kind of. That's been a narrative that's constantly played in my head. I love you, but I don't like you.
Pierce Freedom Executive Director Kat Morgan.
I was also able to go to a survivor retreat with her and some other women that were from another organization that was dealing with women that had been trafficked or different kinds of abuse in more of a refugee situation from other countries. And I remember she just shared that first day, and she got emotional and just shared about how much it meant to her that there was a retreat like this. And again, just her emotion, her tears brought other people to tears. So she always led with her heart. And that's something that I will always take away, and I will always remember when I look back about what I learned from her. She was always really willing to just share with the media.
Again, Emily Rush.
Like, when you grow up believing that there's nothing really worth fighting for, there's nothing worth, I never felt like life was really, I had a purpose. I never felt like I meant anything to anybody, or that's how everybody viewed me. Because I'll admit, I was a hard person to love. I really was. I had an attitude all the time. I was in trouble. I was a liar. I was a hard person to love. But I think it's so important what the words mean things. The littlest words, especially to a kid. Like, But, you know, as far as the system failed me, like, big time. And if they would have just asked me, even, nobody ever asked if I was abused. Nobody ever asked any of that stuff. It was just like, I don't know. I'm still confused about that whole thing. But if somebody would have put some time into me and, I don't know, kind of steered that, directed that, all that energy and that I had, that rebellion, I think that I could have been something great. And I still can be something great. Thank you, Jesus. But if somebody would have just taken the time to spend time with me, I don't really know the questions that could have been asked, but any questions, actually.
Fierce Freedom Executive Director Kat Morgan.
She was always really willing to just share with the media through events like the Empower Freedom Conference, where she was able to share her story. We actually debuted Light in the Darkness, which was a video that portrayed her story along with two other women. And again, I'm so thankful that we recorded that. I'm so thankful that she was open to sharing her story. And I remembered that some of the things that I took away from that were just how she just really fell through the cracks. And so often nobody asked her any questions about what was going on with her. She talked about what she wished would have happened, how she wished people would have seen her vulnerability. And again, she was all about, like, how can we actually make a difference? How can we get our hands dirty? And that's something that I want to be challenged in, you know, throughout my work, because I think that this work can feel so overwhelming. But I think about Emily. I think about what a difference it would have made. Every time that I talk to somebody who is a young person who's in the juvenile detention center, or just a young person who needs to know that they're loved and seen and valuable and cared about, I do think about her. I remember she said to me, like, because I was going into the juvenile detention center, and she said, "That's amazing." She's like, "You're gonna see little me's, little me's in there." So, again, there are Emily's out there today. There are young people, there are adults that have never known and never been told, "Not only do I love you, I like you." I think she didn't always feel like she could be honest about her whole self. And I think that's important that we take that away, is that we need to be able to allow for other people to know that they can be their full self, that we're not going anywhere, and that we love them and we like them. She was very lovable. I miss her a lot. And that's the thing, is this work is so, I think it is important, because I'm so privileged that I got to meet Emily and that I got to have her in my life, not only professionally, but as a beloved friend. And I am grieving for her, but I also have a lot of hope, because I know that she fully trusted in Jesus and she knew him. And I know she's with him right now, and I know she's at peace, finally at peace. But she struggled all her life with the demons that, you know, plagued her, and the addictions that plagued her. And so, again, I am thankful that she's with Jesus. But as she would say, what are we going to do about it? Let's get our hands dirty, because there is still work to be done. So I guess with that, with the legacy she leaves behind. I want to be challenged to continue looking in the cracks and looking how I can support people that are vulnerable, just being by being a friend, just by listening. And I hope others will take that away as well, because I know that I met her for a reason, for so many reasons, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we still have her wisdom and her voice with us because of, you know, the film that we made, and just because of different recordings and because of the memories that we have of her. So, yeah, that was Emily.
Fierce Freedom Executive Director Kat Morgan remembering Emily Rose Rush, who passed earlier this month at the age of 46. Kat says, for someone who'd experienced so much injustice and hardship, Emily only had words of compassion and forgiveness to say about those who had wronged her. Kat says Emily's faith in Jesus always gave her so much hope and peace, and that Fierce Freedom shares in her belief that she has this life behind for a new life in the next, one that is of joy, freedom, and peace everlasting. Again, check the podcast at wib.com and wogo.com for a link to A Light in the Darkness, the Fierce Freedom video. Chippewa Valley This Week is a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.